Would you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, here we are, moving further into November. Stewardship season, right? Something you all look forward to every year, right? Now, you've already received your mailing. You've gotten that lovely Passion Takes Flight brochure, and you've gotten the letter from me. And I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. He's been preaching all around it, but he hasn't brought up money yet. We're just a week away from Consecration Sunday. Look out. Here it comes. Maybe. Maybe not. You'll just have to see. Most of us have been through stewardship seasons before. Many of us here have been through stewardship seasons together. And I assume you know that it takes a financial commitment from all of us to keep our church operating and our ministries in place. I'm pretty sure you're aware of that. Now, don't tell Tim Holchuk, our finance chair, don't let him hear this. But I'm trusting the maturity of your faith for that part. This is an experiment. This year, I'm more interested in exploring our stewardship of discipleship than I am our stewardship of dollars. I'm hoping that you'll come along with me. I'm hoping that you'll fill in all around me. I'm hoping that Tim won't beat me. Now, let me explain what I mean. To fully understanding our calling as disciples, we must recognize our role as stewards. A disciple is submissive and responsive to Jesus' intentions for his or her life. That's how a disciple operates. A steward understands that God has entrusted him or her with various gifts and abilities with which to enliven those very intentions. The two go hand in hand, and here's the key to seeing the link between them. The recognition that everything we have has been given us by God, right down to our very lives, and spreading throughout them in form of our talents and our gifts and our skills and our abilities and, yes, our financial resources. The beauty at the heart of all this is a simple truth. Christ's mission requires all of us. All we have and all we are. That's what he asks. That's what he needs. That's what his church requires. And when this finally sinks in, then we realize the way we give ourselves to others in our time, our abilities, and yes, our finances, must of necessity reflect the way God in Jesus Christ has already given to us, and for us. So do we see ourselves as stewards of God's blessings? Or as owners of things that we've earned? That's a really critical question. Do we see ourselves as lively change agents for Jesus Christ, or as lonely fatalities of the hard highway of life? The answer, my friends, makes all the difference. All the difference. Members of that first group, you see, are ripe to become disciples and to experience life in abundance. Those in the second, however, are liable to miss the deepest calling of their hearts and the better part of their life altogether. Okay, so are you ready for the pitch about money? Mm-hmm. Okay. I thought so. Me neither. Sorry, Tim. Look, face it. Money is a necessity. No one in this room misunderstands that. Got it. It pays for things around here. It turns on the lights, amongst many, many, many other things. But money doesn't make us a church. Here's how that happens. We turn to our Ephesians text and we hear this. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Beg you to live a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. How beautiful is that? Making every effort to maintain the unity of, not uniformity, we talked about this on Wednesday night, not uniformity, unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Do you get that? Do you hear what we are called to be as a church? We are called to be in unity. One body, one Spirit, just as you are called to the one hope of your calling, everything comes together in Jesus Christ. And when we submit to that in discipleship, and when we respond to that in stewardship, we become the Christ, the church that Christ imagined us to be when he imagined us to be. We become the church that he calls us to be. We fulfill then that life worthy of the calling to which we have been called. That's what we need to do. That is stewardship of discipleship. And to the point of this discussion about those two, Paul continues, but each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Paul is talking here about what we've come to call spiritual gifts. It's a biblical concept. We're going to talk about it here for a minute or two. Paul is saying that these spiritual gifts come to us and they come from the Lord Jesus Christ. From the beginning, God has wanted his human family to cooperate in his work. That's been clear from page one of the Bible. Hence, he gave us the gift of his image so we could do his will. And the spiritual gifts that we are then given are representative of God's own graces, of God's own character. We are given them to make us look more like God. We are given them to make us behave more like God. We are given them to make us respond more like God. We're made like God in order to join him in his creative work of redemption. That's our calling as a church. That's the element for which we are required to be in stewardship. And the discipleship is the response. Now, in the Ephesians text, Paul pointedly enumerates a few of those gifts. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And then he moves on to something really, really, really important. The reason God would entrust us with such gifts is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. That is our discipleship response to our stewardship calling. He continues, build up this body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity in the measure of the full stature of Christ. All of us come to that, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. This is our calling. This is our inheritance from our Lord. Through the gifts given to the people in his church, the Lord of the church is meeting the needs of the church, and through that he is meeting the needs of the world. And we play an integral part. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. You knew I'd get there. Here's the thing. We're all blessed with some of those gifts. Some of us are blessed with several. And they are ours to share with one another for the benefit of all in God's holy rescue mission, his church. For that's what we are, his holy rescue mission. So what are they? Well, you see in your bulletin this morning that you have this insert. Why don't you take that out if you would? Now, this insert references at the top five core texts from which we gather the list that we call the gifts of the Spirit. I list them there for you so that you can look them up if you would like to in this coming week. But down below, there's about 30 of them. There's more than 30, actually, when you cull through those texts. But down below are the 23 which are most commonly recognized. And I'm just going to walk you through it really quickly. Administration, that's pretty clear. Apostleship, that's pretty clear. Praise and worship, that's pretty clear. Craftsmanship, working around the church, building, creating, doing things in dynamic craftsmanship. Discernment, sort of wisdom. Evangelism, reaching out. Encouragement, what a gift that is. Our elders gathered this morning before worship, something we used to do and haven't done for a while. They gathered over in the office building before worship and they prayed for me because I would be preaching the word of the Lord. That was encouragement. Faith, giving, service. We have lots of people around here that know about service. Hospitality, how about that? Intercession, praying for others. Knowledge. Leadership, mercy, that's a gift of the Spirit. Prophecy, the ability to speak the words of the Lord. Shepherding, teaching, wisdom, healing, miraculous powers. Let me know when you get those, by the way. And tongues and the interpretation of tongues, not a particularly Presbyterian gift. So those are the gifts of the Spirit that are most commonly recognized. Those are the ones we've been looking at on Wednesday nights in our Gift of the Spirits class. As I said, each of you has one. Some of you have some. A few of you have many. But no one is left empty-handed in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I want you to take a couple of minutes. Just right now, we'll go quick, take a couple minutes, and look at that list and the gifts in your bulletin. See which ones you recognize in yourself. Just quietly take a minute and a half, something like that. Like I said, all of us have some of them. Whatever you find in there, whatever you recognize in yourself is a gift from the Lord Jesus Christ, is a gift from Father God to enrich your life and to enlarge his kingdom. Discipleship calls you to use them. Stewardship calls you to share them. Be mindful of that. I encourage you to keep this list next to you in the coming week, and I want you to think about how it is that you can use your gifts to serve Christ through this church here. What can you bring to the church body to enrich it? Here's what Peter says about all this. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of us has received. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Whoever speaks must do so as one speaking the very words of God. Whoever serves must do so with the strength that God supplies, so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. Now, Paul reports Jesus is saying that it's more blessed to give than to receive. And at least the first aspect of this blessedness is the joy that giving brings to the giver. That's how it is with spiritual gifts as well. We've heard that repeatedly from our friends over the past few weeks, from Phil Katz, from Carolyn Good, this morning from George Holton. All testify that their lives are enriched when they express their discipleship through their stewardship of the particular gifts with which they have been entrusted. Paul's pretty clear about that as well. He says, necessity is laid upon me. Necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel, for if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But if not of my own will, I am still entrusted with a stewardship. What then is my reward? That in my preaching, I may present the gospel free of charge. Your reward in sharing your gift of the Spirit may well be preaching the gospel free of charge in whatever way you preach it, through service, through hospitality, through mercy. The list is long. You have it in front of you. So here's my stewardship pitch for this morning. Do you want to see FHPC grow and flourish? I know you do. I know you're anxious about that. We talk about that a lot. Yes, by all means, then, make a financial pledge. There you go, Tim. I'm sorry to keep picking on you. No, I'm not. Make a financial pledge. The Lord knows that we need it, and you know that we need it. We're not naive here. But also spend some time with that list of spiritual gifts and pledge whatever you find to be yours in service to Jesus Christ and your brothers and sisters here in Fountain Hills Presbyterian Church. Figure out where you fit into the larger body. Our church won't be complete without your contribution. We need those gifts with which you are blessed for us to be whole, for us to be complete, for us to be effective for Jesus Christ. D.A. Hubbard says, God's gifts are a personal call to us. As members of Christ's body, the church, we answer their call and employ their gifts. The church is strengthened and the world is served. God's love is known. God's grace is demonstrated. God's name is honored. All that happens when you share your gifts, the gifts He gave you. God has entrusted each of us with gifts, and now He calls us to use them cheerfully and productively. See, here's the thing. The deployment of the gifts of the Spirit produces the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, I don't know about you, but I think if that's what we're sharing here, then our passion will indeed take flight and our church, not to mention our lives, will be transformed. Let it be, dear Lord. Let it be. Amen.